Dr. Vernon McGee talking, and somebody was talking to him about the charismatic movement and his church. You know, we don't want to get too fired up. We don't want to get too emotional. And Vernon McGee, in that good old country style that he has, he said, quite frankly, I'd rather have the problem of slowing y'all down than warming y'all up. Because I cannot warm y'all up. And I'd rather try to calm y'all down. Okay. Let's begin with a word of prayer. We are closing out our study of one another and the negative aspect. And things we've got to do tonight is so important. So let's, that we can see what's going on in Scripture, let's spend a few moments in prayer. It seems, Heavenly Father, that throughout all Scripture, throughout all history, that when two or more humans are together, believers, Christians, in some way or another, turmoil erupts. It is the solution of man from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil to go to law to control these conducts. But your ways are not our ways. And what you have given to us is your love, not law. We could, Heavenly Father, grasp and bear spiritual love. How powerful it is in human relationships. So many Christians hurt tonight, Heavenly Father, all over the world. And their soul, marriages, family, friends, lovers, associates, work, and try so many things to calm their soul instead of that which you have given to us, is just to love by trusting your Spirit. Pray, Father, your Spirit will be with me tonight. I will speak in simplicity and in truth the things that need to be seen. Heavenly Father, here, your Spirit will open our ears and our eyes tonight. We pray these things, Father, in Christ's name. Amen. Let's have a pause, just in a very brief period of time, in human relationships between believers. And there are so many Christians that are in so much turmoil. So many Christians end in divorce, their marriages, hurting one another, soul problems, mental problems, emotional problems, that then go over into physical problems. It seems to be almost epidemic rate in America. And I think that one of the reasons for this is that the answer that the church has given is not the answer that is found in Scripture. To control nature and to control man and all these things that even an unbeliever can understand and try to do. I don't know why the church doesn't want to give the answer of Scripture. Not really sure. Probably talk about it for a long time. Why the church... If you listen to most churches give the answer, it's the same thing that you'd hear at an unbeliever seminar. But the answer that we have in Scripture is not something that the unbeliever would understand or even do, and that is to just trust the third member of the Godhead. But there are so many believers that have family problems, and they carry it in their soul. This is one thing that a lot of believers do. They carry an anger. They carry resentment. They carry hate. They carry hurt. Blame. They see things in the turmoil of their life, and it just, rather than deal with it in the manner that we have been given by God, what they do is just compound their problem with what they do in their soul. And some, as many Christians, just will not be appeased. They will not. Because even if they could watch that other person just be pounded by God, that really wouldn't be enough, because it's already hurt their life so much. And yet God's answer is so simple. So what we're looking at in these one another's is the manifestation of when love is there, when you are walking in the power of the Spirit. This is not a list, as I've said so many times, that we are to try to do or not do. This is so that you and I can see what does His love look like in various circumstances in our lives. I have no other answer. Seminars and go through all of the stuff, what happens when you do this and why we shouldn't do that, and on and on and on. All the human things. You can go to a lot of unbelievers' seminars for that kind of stuff. Just the answer that is given to us in Scripture. Trust me. Walk in my Spirit. I have given you the solution. If you don't want it, in God's perspective, then go ahead and try whatever else you want. It won't work. My power will do it. And what we're looking at is when another believer hurts us so much, hurts our family, causes a rage inside, and that rage, anger, and that anger, murder. No, you don't pull out a gun and kill, but you commit murder. So many Christians are so self-righteous about other believers who commit what we'll classify overt sins, horrible sins, a la Clinton and anybody else, and just pound and boy. But what they're doing in the midst of it, they're doing even worse sins and murdering. They're doing so many things in their own life, and they will deny it, 1 John 1:8. They're in denial. And we're looking at that we are not to murder one another, and we have looked at Matthew 5:21-22. We've looked at Ephesians 4:26-27. Let's begin tonight by, if you will, open the Scriptures to one more passage on the subject of not murdering one another. 1 John 3:15. I think, as we can see, that it goes through Scripture that it is important to God. And so this becomes something that we have to be aware of in our own souls. And so let's look at 1 John 3:15. Everyone, now, 1 John is just such a powerful epistle. He wrote the Gospel of John, then he wrote the epistles, and then he wrote Revelation. And Revelation, the revealing of Jesus Christ, John, a revelation of God the Father, and in between, a revelation of the believer in a relationship with God, and therefore the emphasis of the epistle is love, spiritual love. But we've come to chapter 3 and verse 15. Everyone who hates, in dealing with a believer, because we're dealing with a brother, everyone who hates his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. I want you to get a springboard from this. Please look at the previous verse, verse 14, that is almost as powerful in its going into from our study of spiritual love and one another. We know that we have passed out of death into life. And I love what we know here. It is not by doctrine. The doctrinal elite like to say, well, everything is by doctrine. Well, you won't find that bearing out in the Scriptures. But let's take a look at this. We know that we have passed out of death into life. Now, what is death? Death is our spiritual death when we are under the what? The power of sin as believers. So we pass out of that when we go to faith in the Spirit. That's what we call grace recovery. And then into life, he who is said to give life, God the Holy Spirit gives life. So we're talking about a believer who, in other passages or Paul's terminology, would be one who is spiritual. So this is one who has gone out of death, very blatant, very absolute. You're either in death or you're in life. You're either in darkness or you're in light. Out of death into life. Now, how do I know when I am walking in the Spirit? Because we love the brethren. He who does not love abides in death. So a believer may say, "Oh, I'm walking in the Spirit. I'm walking in the light," and harbors hate toward a believer who has hurt them in some way, sinned against them in some way, trying to claim I'm right with God, but I, just because this other person's done that. Well, he lies. He's under deception. It's a very powerful passage, verse 14 is. We know that we have passed out of death into life. How do I know that? What's one of the things that I'm going to be able to tell myself? Because we love the brethren. He who does not love abides in death. And then we go into verse 15, everyone who hates his brother is a murderer. And we know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. Now, a lot of Christians are in denial, and I mean a lot. And this is why there's a lot of emotional, mental instability in Christians, right? They have emotional breakdowns and all the stuff that go on in them because they're carrying anger, though they are in denial of it. They're in denial. Anger. And so, but I have very good biblical reasons. This person's a real sinner. This person is not repented. This person is no good. He's worthless. And all these things that I want to say. And you can almost hear it in their tone, their hate and their anger when they talk. Now, let's take a look at verse 15. Verse 15, you're guilty before God on three accounts. You're guilty before God. Now, not just here, but in our study. In our study of Matthew, remember, we're talking about being guilty before God. One, you're angry at your brother. Two, you call your brother Raka. Three, adding to those two things that now that we have seen in the last few studies of this, you hate another believer in Jesus Christ, your brother. You hate, and therefore you murder. You actually murder someone who belongs to Jesus Christ. We've already studied hate. We've already studied that under how we do not hate one another. Just to bring you back to par with that, bring you back into memory with that. Hate means to, you know, a lot of people, "Oh, I don't hate. I don't," it's like that one we just saw with righteous indignation. "Oh, I'm not angry. I have righteous indignation." But we studied that and kind of put that to rest. What that really is and what you do if that's the case. You don't let the sun go down on that one. But these are some of the things that go. To hate is to detest, to abhor. Again, most will deny that they hate, saying, "Oh, I don't hate them, but I have righteous indignation." You're in denial. And that's one of the worst things you can do, people. Be in denial. You know, most people, when they look at 1 John 1:8-9, they think about somebody out there sinning in some horrible way, and, "Oh, I'm not sinning," when it's them themselves who are in denial because of their hate, because of their anger. But, "Oh, I have reasons for it. I am righteous in it," and on and on and on. You're in denial. You're in denial, and you're not going to get out of the darkness as long as you're in denial. So, this is very important. The hating of one another. We're not to hate one another. Other ideas of the word, to detest. To detest, to abhor, with the implication of aversion, of hostility. You don't want to be around them. What do you do when you love somebody? Let's just talk about love in the human realm. You love somebody, you want to be around them. You enjoy talking with them. You want to talk with them. You want to be around them. It's not a tension thing to be around them. And you really enjoy being around them. But when you hate somebody and anger at somebody, you don't. A lot of things you can do with your own self. Now, what I'm really doing, I really am angry. I really do have hate. I'm in denial here. And I know that. But it's very healthy to be able to acknowledge that and go ahead and confess it. Acknowledge that so that you can move on to grace recovery by faith. But here's someone hates with the implication of aversion and hostility. See them just put out of the picture. The greater your hate, the more you want them just put out of the picture. Just take it out and cast aside. That's murder. What is murder? Murder is what? obliterating somebody, eliminating somebody. Just moving them out of the picture. Boom! You're out of the picture now. You're dead. That's what murder is in the mind with a believer. I just want them out. I don't even want to have to deal with it. See, when you murder somebody, then you don't have to deal with it. That's why murder is a, and let me put this in quotes, that's why murder is a seemingly good solution. Because I'm just removing the person out of the picture. I don't have to deal with the problem. They're in my way, one way or the other. How do I solve that? Get them out of the way. Satan, the father of murders, first murder. Just get them out of the way. And it solves my problem. This is what believers do in their mind. It's what believers do with their hate and their anger. Just get this person out of the way. In their mind, just murder them. So this is what a lot of believers do. And what they do is they try to do it by the law. Because what does the law do, people? From 2 Corinthians chapter 3, what does the law do? Kills. The law kills. That's why, dear Christian, if you want to kill somebody, go to the law. It'll help you. If you want to murder a believer in your mind, in your soul, and you want to be justified in doing it, go to the law. And the law will let you kill them. The Mosaic law in Scripture, find it, apply it, and kill them. Live by the law, and you can kill another believer. Let's put it here. You can murder another believer. Well, I'm not before God. This is okay before God because I'm under the law here. See what the law does. Now, they may not want to call it law. This is what righteousness does. This is what justice does. See, you're no different than Satan. What does Satan do? Satan charges up to the throne of God because you can't use the believer because, why? They sinned. You're righteous. You're holy. You're just. Cast them out. And this is what believers want to do. You're following Satan. You're not following Christ. You're following Satan. This becomes very important to follow through this whole thing of hate because multitude of believers are in denial in their soul that they're in hate. And it just eats, and it eats, and it eats. And every now and then it comes up. You want them murdered out of the way. And until this is taken care of, and the way it's taken care of is in spiritual love. But as long as we're in denial, well, I'm not really doing that. See, a lot of Christians, well, if I'm, you know, as long as I'm not doing something overtly, it isn't as bad. Just read the Scripture. Read the Scriptures. These are things that we do to our souls. And God looks on the inside. Now, can the human court come along because you have hate and anger in your soul for somebody and want them murdered? No. But what does God do? God says, I don't want fellowship here. There's no life here. This isn't what the cross is about. So I'm out of here as far as the fellowship is concerned. So they hate. And this is why hatred is so common among believers who live by some system of law. It's very common. This is why they have no problem in slamming and judging and maligning others, murdering them, because they live by the law. This is why also they detest those who live by just faith. They detest them. Okay, now to help us to understand the word hate, let's compare it with an English word detest, just to kind of help us even further on this idea of hate. Detest. To hate is directed toward the object independent, regardless of qualities of the object. Detest is independent of the person and dependent upon the nature or qualities. In other words, let me just tell you what I said. A Christian hates another Christian regardless of the fact that that person is a Christian. It just doesn't matter that they're a Christian. That doesn't even enter into the picture. One who belongs to God, saved by Christ, that you'll be with eternally. one whom God loved as his own, one in whom the Spirit of the living God dwells and lives. They do not care about that. They hate that person. And yet, that is the beginning and end of it. Now, let me give you the idea of the opposite of that. To detest someone is to detest a person because they are Christians. Not in spite of that fact, but because of that fact, of the quality of state of their existence. Now, that may be cutting it too refined for you. Don't worry about it. But what I'm trying to show you is that the whole thing here, hating one another, and as we leave this is the whole thing of whether or not this is the mark of the Christian. God made this a mark that you are a believer, that you love one another, how we interact with one another. This is the whole thing, the whole deal. It starts off with Adam and his interaction with Eve. And Eve going to Adam and leaving Adam to eat of the apple because they want to be like God. It wasn't a matter of blatant sin. It was a matter of, we're going to be like God. We're going to disobey God, but we're doing it to be like God. And so Adam, so we have the interaction here of believers. And then once they realized it, then they started blaming each other. Then they started putting clothes on each other, trying to, because there's a problem between one another, they're going to try to solve that problem in that respect. People, it's not going to be resolved there, and that's what's wrong with all of the secular and Christian seminars that you're going to go to that is going to emphasize, solve the problem between the one another. It isn't going to be done. It has to be solved inside of you, and that is going to change your whole relationship with one another. You're going to deal with them in spiritual life. And that's why our seminars should be different. Instead of 3 or 4 hours or 3 or 4 days of secular psychology, secular human thoughts, secular things, and dealing with all this stuff about man and dealing with one another and learning and age and patience and human patience and understanding they're a woman, understanding they're a man. People, we haven't gotten anywhere in our study. We're almost through now where men and women are different, have we? Not one! Spiritual love will affect a male or a female. When the Holy Spirit is in you, He doesn't say, oh, you're a female, I'm going to deal with you differently in this life. People, the power of spiritual love transcends the sexes. A woman needs spiritual love. A man needs spiritual love. And when I say we need it from the Holy Spirit, we need it from one another. There isn't a woman, a wife, a daughter, a friend, a lover in life that does, a woman that does not need to be loved in spiritual life. But I want to tell you something. There is not a male who does not need to be loved in spiritual love. Am I saying there's no difference in the sexes? Not at all. What I'm trying to show you is that God's solution transcends all of that stuff. What do we have in Galatians? In Christ there is neither male nor female. And yet Christians come along and write Christian books and try to make the whole thing, but she's a woman, but he's a man. Show me in Scripture God the Holy Spirit is different for the woman and different for the man. Oh, people, He's given us something that's not complex and difficult. I tried to be funny in that regard. If we're going to do that, we've got to write all these books. We've got to write a book for the teenage boy, the teenage girl. We've got to write a book for the teenager, or any female, for two different times of the month, for all the different times of the year. We've got to write different books for men when they grow up in different stages of their life. Different things happen in their life. I mean, we're just going to be constantly having manuals to read. Okay, you just turned his age. Let me get another manual out. Well, you're going through this. Let me get this manual out. Let me get that. People, we don't need that stuff. We don't need these seminars. We need the church to tell people to walk by faith in the Spirit and love one another as Christ did. That's what we need. But when we don't do that, and we put the pressure back on people to be thoughtful of one another and to consider it of one another, people are, the human flesh just gets weary of that. Hey, what about me? I'm sorry you're going through that, but me. And the solution is not to think about the other person. People, the solution is to be in right relationship with the Holy Spirit. He will change you. He will pour into your spiritual love, and He will cause you to think differently about one another.
I think that would eliminate the majority of conflict.
Okay. Let me go back to the first thing you said. Let's go back and just analyze it then. How do I know? Now, Alan's example, you married people don't really have to deal with this so much, but the way he worded it was single people, and that's, you know, who's going to pay? All right, I'm going to play with that one. You know, who's going to pay? Let's add another one, where we're going to go and do. Okay. So, be thinking of the other person. I'll pay. So you get into that. No, I'll pay. And the waiter's standing there saying, would one of y'all take the ticket before you tear the thing up? And all this kind of stuff. Now, how about this? Rather than having that servant attitude, what if I'm walking in the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit leads me, I'm in Him, and people, I believe this is how this thing works, because you pay. And so, and then He leads you this person, you pay, or go, we'll do what we want, we'll do whatever. And so, at times, the other person will say, well, let me pay. Okay, you pay. Let me pay. And it's right here. This is where it begins and ends. There's this personal relationship with the third member of the Godhead. He will guide. One of my funniest, I listen to old radio programs. One of my funniest ones, of course, a lot of you wouldn't even, you know, but Jack Benny was always known for being very tight with his money. And what happened was he was always banking on people saying, no, I'll take it. And so he was out eating with some people, and Jack Benny said, well, I'll pay. And nobody said anything. And so he said it again. He said, well, I'll pay this. And everybody said, okay. He said, well, doesn't anybody want to pay? He didn't have any money or anything. But anyway, so it was, that's how the whole show was going. But there'll be times when the Holy Spirit is going to lead us in all these different kinds of directions and different ways in the inner relationship with one another. And this servant idea is this comes from the Holy Spirit of what does the servant look like in this case? What does the servant look like in that case? Give an example. Jesus Christ meeting the woman at the well. He never gave him any water, but I'm going to stay with the way the procedure went. He asked her to give him water, yet he's the servant. So what we don't know sometimes the form that the servant is what it's going to look like in any given circumstance with one another. But there is going to always be the thoughtfulness of one another and of the other person and these kinds of things. But here's the clincher as we see what the spiritual life is about and what all these one another's about. How am I going to get all these one another's down? Don't try to learn them all. Don't try to memorize them all. Don't do it. All I wanted to do in this series is just to draw the attention that this is what you're going to look like. It's kind of like what we just read in the First John passage. And if a person is... in verse 14, we know we have passed out of death into life because we have love for the one another. And all I'm saying is, if you're walking in spiritual love, these are the kinds of things that will happen. These are the kinds of things that will not happen. If you have anger and hate and murder toward another believer, you know one thing. I'm not in the light. I'm not in life. I'm not in the spirit. I'm not in spiritual love. So just let me know where I am. And then get back into the Spirit and let Him lead you. Because there's just no way that we can always think and be prepared. And okay, I know ahead of everything. This is, you know what a lot of people do? It's just kind of what a lot of people do, they use all of this to control. I'll take care of everything. It's a control factor. They don't have a servant attitude. Now, it's nice that they pay for everything, and that's cool. But if we want to be honest, what they're doing is they're just taking control of everything, and that's the way it's going to be, and they're in control of the table, what's going to be done, da-da-da-da-da, or whatever case we're talking about. It looks like they're the servant, and but really it's a control factor. No, that's not always true. I'm just saying, we don't know what it's going to look like at any given time, so we want to walk in His Spirit, trust in His Spirit. You lead me in this relationship. Does that help a little bit? Okay, with anger, what you have to do, and you've already over halfway there because what? You have acknowledged. You have not denied. Okay, I'm dealing with anger here. And that's when that dear shepherd in 1 John said, okay, don't go into fear and deny. Now, why did they deny? Because they were in fear that God would take away their salvation. It was their view of God. So don't do that. Don't do that. Go ahead and acknowledge. Because your God isn't going to take it away. He isn't going to do that. He's just kind of put everything in its proper place. He's already paid for it. It's all taken care of. It's inside. Now, we walk in the Spirit, and in 1 John chapter 1, verse 7, God the Holy Spirit, slowly, the more we walk in the Spirit, He cleanses us, and we'll look at John, 1 John 1, 7 later. Well, right here, look back at it, please. But you see what's happening in your own soul. If you're harboring hate or anger, and so many Christians do, why, there was some today, and it's just I just feel. And on the other hand, it is difficult to deal with. What do I do with it? Okay, verse 7. But if we walk in the light, now here's a believer who is walking in the light. That is, walking in the power of the Spirit, walking in life. As He Himself is in the light, two things happen when you're walking in the Spirit. One, we have fellowship with one another, not hate and anger. But also, the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. Now, what does that mean? Here's a believer that's already in the light, and we're talking about cleansing. Well, what is going on here, believer, is that when you are in the light, walking in the light, walking in life, spiritual life, walking in the Holy Spirit, in other words, the Holy Spirit is doing a lot of things that you may not even be aware of. And one of the things the Spirit is doing, He's going in and He's cleaning that mess out. He's cleaning out anger, for an example, since that's our discussion. He's God, the Holy Spirit. I'm not doing this. He, God, is doing this. He is cleansing out anger from within us. It's not something I'm going to accomplish. So that the more I'm in the light, the more I want to be in the light, and the more He removes, He just removes more and more the anger towards, and pretty soon, as this thing is cleansed and everything, I can actually be, let's put the word live, if we're dealing with a husband, wife, family, a friend. You know, if you live with that person, and there is really no anger, in truth, no anger. And I didn't do it. I know that God slowly did this inside of me. We're going to see in the study of the Spirit-filled life, some things happen instantly, some things happen gradually. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Now, watch, though. There are two things going on when you're walking in the Spirit, Alan. Two things. I'm here, we're walking in the Spirit. In the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, what we're dealing with is anger. Okay. Two things are important at the point of our discussion. One, at that moment, when I am walking in the Spirit, there is no anger. I will not be angry. There'll be no anger toward that believer or believers or whatever, because I'm in the power of the Spirit at that moment. But the moment I get out of the Spirit, just to make my point, the moment I get out, boy, anger shoots right back up. It may be nothing more. You are truly walking in the Spirit, and that person walks in the door or calls on the phone or something, and kapow! your anger goes up. You just went from light to darkness. Light to darkness, life to death. Okay, that's what I'm doing with. So what you know is, I have now oriented to this person and not to God, the Holy Spirit, and the work of Christ on the cross. I'm no longer oriented. So I immediately, because of the presence of anger, what did we just read in verse 13? He just said, if we have anger, we know we're not in life. So this anger came through. Paul, I know what happened to me real quick. And as quickly as you say the person walked in the door, you just go back and you're oriented to trusting God, the Holy Spirit, and orienting to what Christ has done on the cross. They are a believer in Christ, these types of things. So now you're continuing to walk, and as you walk in the Spirit, He removes that anger. There will be no anger. The Spirit isn't going to be there, and love isn't going to be there if there's anger. So that moment that you're walking, there is no anger. Now, something happens. That's one thing. When you are walking in the power of the Spirit, there is no anger. What? But secondly, while you are walking, God the Holy Spirit is actually going in and cleaning out. Cleaning out that anger. Now watch how this happens. How do I know if that ever really happens? Okay. Let's move down. And you've been walking in the Spirit. And walking in the light. Fulfilling the plan of God. I don't know how long, what amount of time we want to talk about. But let's just say now, you're in the flesh. You are in the flesh. And guess what? There is no anger toward that believer, even when you're in the flesh. Now, there are other sins that happen when we're in the flesh. Don't misunderstand me. But I'm just saying, as far as that believer is concerned, you can see him and there's no anger, even when you're not in the Spirit. Because it's been cleaned up. He has cleaned it out. This is one of the most beautiful things, is understanding the work of the Holy Spirit. And especially when we're walking in the light.
Is there an example in the Bible about
the flesh going on? The one that I can come to is David. And that I can come to real quickly. David and, was it Nahor? Somebody David was very angry at, and Abigail came and reminded David of a lot of facts and stuff. Or even better than that one, David, in dealing with Saul. And, you know, a lot of people know that story when David was hiding in the cave, and then King Saul came in to relieve himself, and David just had to put the knife in the cloak. Let me tell you two things. One, we know David, one, he wouldn't be that good in the Holy Spirit. But secondly, and even more importantly, he didn't kill him, though. He didn't have a great anger and hate. So we'd have to work on some examples of that, Alan. I hadn't thought about going this way. What I want you to see is the work of the Holy Spirit that is going on. And just going to give you a human example of how this happens. If you're with a person, let's take a young man, young woman, it doesn't matter. But let's take a young man, and he's single. And so the young man has a date. Let's say he's dating three ladies, and off and on and things. And so, and then all of a sudden, this gal comes along, or it could be even one of these. So he starts spending more and more time here with A. And you know what he realizes? Well, I want to spend more time with her, and more time. And what is happening is, there is a declining, a cleaning out, if you want to use that expression, staying with our study, of the desire to be with B and C. Nothing wrong with B and C, but it's just by the factor of being with A, the desire, and that's what we're looking at, the desire is actually taken away, being lessened and taken away to be with somebody else. And now what I'm trying to show you is so that while he's with A, not only is he enjoying the time with A, there's something happening inside. He is losing the desire to be with anyone else. I just want to be with A. This is the concept and principle of the work of the Holy Spirit when we're walking in the light, when we're walking in the Spirit. The more we walk in the Spirit, He just takes away other desires. He takes away other angers. He takes away things, and we really are enjoying walking in the power of the Spirit.
What about Joseph? Certainly had anger and brothers
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would have to. I would have to go back and look if I could find a place where I knew it was in the flesh and didn't have hate. Yeah, that's it. You're one of the dead or alive. All the time. There's no faith. Yeah, it's been taken out. And God will do that. Why we can't tell Christians God will do this? We just, I've had people tell me, I don't trust the Spirit to do that. We need therapy, psychiatry, psychology. We need a lot of this stuff, drugs, all this stuff. No, people, this is the power of God, and the church just won't accept the power of God. They will not accept it. It's gone to human solutions for so many things, and it's such a tragedy. Such a tragedy. Okay. A believer hates another believer. And because of what the believer did, he has a detesting of that believer. And when you hate, you murder. Now, let's ask the question, how? That's a pretty strong statement. Why did God use the word murder here? Well, I mean, just boom, there it is. If you harbor hate toward another believer, you murder. All right, let's talk about that. Let's talk about it. Yeah, some sins are obvious of why God says that we do them if we think about it. Let's just take fornication, adultery, that type of thing. If you think it in God, and before God, you've done that. Okay, we can see how the thought is related to what I want to do and all of that. But boy, hate now becomes murder. One sin, we'll call this a mental attitude sin, has now become a powerful concept of an overt sin that I really do detest. I really do detest murder. And here I am a murderer. Here I am a murderer because I... So, boy, God, that really doesn't seem fair. Just doesn't seem fair that because I'm angry or hate a believer that I'm guilty of murder. That, boy, that just doesn't seem so. Let's ask ourselves why... Is it when we hate, we murder? Okay, what is murder? Murder is taking another person's life. Murder is getting rid of a person. Getting them out of your existence. For people, this is what hate does. This is what hate desires. It gets rid of that person. You don't want them around. You don't want them in your midst. You don't want them in the body of Christ. You don't want them doing anything. You don't want anybody doing for them or them doing. You just don't want, you want them out. It would be totally fine with you if they were gone because you hate them. That's why it's murder. Murder is a form of killing. Out, here's something else. It means to carry out a judgment, an execution. This is what the person who lives by law wants to do. I want to carry out the execution. I have made the judgment, and I want to carry out the execution. And so, what is killing somebody? In this case, and why is it called murder? Because it's unlawful. It's wrong, but you're using the law. Oh, but they have done this, and they have violated the law. They've broken the law. I judge them, and I'm going to execute them. Well, what you're doing is murder. Well, that's why I structured the way I worded that, is that what I'm doing is murder because I'm not the judge, nor am I the executioner. But I have taken that with using the law as my basis under hate. I have made myself both judge and executioner. When I hate them, I want them out. But no, when you execute someone under law, it is not murder. That's why the Bible does not say thou shalt not murder, it says thou shalt not kill. And it doesn't say thou shalt not kill, it says thou shalt not murder. The Hebrew word there is murder, not kill. So that clarifies that aspect. So, but what when you live by the law and the law kills, you want that person out. You want them out. It's just, Alan, I skipped over too fast and may sound confusing. If somebody kills my mother, and I don't want to wait on law, and I go and I know they did it, and I go and find them and I kill them. Have I executed them or have I murdered them? I murdered. So, but you know, I'm using law because they killed my mother as my basis. I'm wrong because I've murdered. Okay. All right. Now let's move on in this. So this is what hate does in dealing with just the words here. Everyone who hates his brother is a murderer. All of this is going on inside the believer. All this is going on inside of you. And people, all of this will destroy you. It will destroy you. Some of you may not agree with what I'm getting ready to say. You're going to have to deal with the scripture yourself. I've heard Christians and really self-righteous Christians on the radio and television and this kind of thing. I would never murder. Somebody who murders, now listen, has to have something really wrong with them. Somebody who would murder has to, they have some real problem inside. Now, in the flesh, as creatures, we all capable of this. But you have, when you have hate inside of you, this is what, it will destroy you. Please understand this. It will destroy you. It will not destroy the other person. It will do far greater damage to your soul. This is why I'm saying so many Christians today are under so much therapy and drugs and help and so depressed and sorrowful and miserable and all of these things in their life and tense and pressure and stress and all of these things because they're carrying it in their soul. Carrying it in their soul. The simple or wrongful believer, he may have already taken care of it, maybe not, but he may have already taken care of the initial sin and has gone on with the relationship with God. You're harboring something in your soul. And people, it eats. And it does work on your soul. Hate, anger. It ruins your day. It ruins your perspective. And it will affect the body eventually, I do believe that. But all the things that are going on are far greater to you. And the more what happens is, the more this starts happening, the more angry you become. And especially if they're going on with the Lord. They're going on. You become even more angry now. Psalm 23, thou preparest the table in the presence of mine enemies. Can you imagine what that does to the enemies? That even makes them more angry in their soul. More hostile. We've got to get rid of these things, and it isn't through therapy or drugs and all this kind of stuff. God has made it so simple and so easy if we would just trust God. But we won't. It's got to be something man does. No, it's something that God does. So you become more miserable. You blame. You hate. You become angry at other believers and others. And pretty soon, it's not just the one believer. Pretty soon, here's your hate. And pretty soon, your hate is not just toward that believer, but it's toward this believer because he says hi to this believer. And then it's toward another believer. And it just starts eating away inside you. It has no boundary. It's a cancer of the soul. And just keeps eating. Anger is the same way. Jealousy. All of these immune systems of the flesh, as we studied them last week, all of these immune systems of the flesh end up being a cancer that destroys you. While at first they're designed to protect you, they end up destroying you. Remember, we saw that last week, how they are protectors of the flesh self. So they're designed to protect the flesh self, but they end up destroying the flesh self, destroying your capacity of life, your enjoyment of life, anything, everything that happens in life. What generally happens is that the believer who hates in his own soul commits murder in his own soul. Soon it will come out of his mouth. Soon the tongue will become a weapon. and he'll murder with his tongue. We've already taken a look at that. Why is God so adamant about hate leading to murder? Because the one who hates another believer, in reality, is angry at God. Now this is where we'll close, but this is very important. So again, no. People go into denial. No, not me. But what we're really doing, what's really going on, you see it as hate, anger, toward this sinner, who's a believer. Let me tell you what's really going on. This hate and this anger is not directed toward the sinner. You're really angry and hating with God that he allowed this to happen. That he allowed, permitted this believer to do this. And it becomes so important to realize in the final analysis, dear believer, that our anger and our hate is really directed toward God. We're really angry at God. And until a believer often will make that acknowledgement, I'm really angry at you, God. I'm really angry at you. Not so much the sinner. I'm angry at you. One of the most beautiful, meaningful scenes in the movie, The Apostle, Duval, was in his conversation with God. No, that is really probably not a correct word, conversation, in his just one-sided conversation with God. But it was such a good monologue, not a dialogue, but a very good monologue with God. And what I appreciated in what he said was, he said, I don't know if it's you. I don't know if it's Satan. I don't know what. All I know is that you have taken my family, my church, my everything away from me. And he said, I am angry at you, God. And that's a wonderful thing to do, to be able to come to that point. And he tried to cover it, as we all would in that point. He tried to, I love you, God, but I'm angry at you, God. I'm angry at you, God. I'm angry at you, God. And the point that I'm saying here is that he came to the realization it wasn't the man that was having an affair with his wife. It wasn't the people that in the church. It wasn't any of this kind of stuff. It wasn't all of this perfect stuff. It was between him and God, and he knew that. And that's the part I appreciated. It wasn't his wife that he came down with. Well, he didn't go up there and say, boy, you're giving me a horrible woman and this guy in the church and all of this stuff. He didn't say any of that. He said, I am angry at you, God. And it's so important, people, to realize why God makes a great deal out of these sins that go on and the results of it. Because of what's going on in our relationship with him. Remember, your relationship with one another is dependent upon your relationship with God. If you are walking in the Spirit, it is going to have effect in your dealings with one another. If you are angry at God, it is going to affect your dealing with one another. So we must be able, and it's so difficult for people to come to this point, yes, I am angry at God. Some of the most beautiful Psalms of David where he is angry at God. And acknowledges it. And then he pulls himself out of that by the time he gets to the end of the psalm. And I'm so thankful that God the Holy Spirit allowed David to write these things down for us so that we can see. And many believers see Scripture. Job tried so many different ways to get around it, and then he finally just said it. You are wrong, God. You are wrong, God. That I am right. He was angry at God, and he knew it. And so from the very first book, all the way through, just stand back when you do see anger and hate building in your soul. It's not toward this other person, people. It is toward God. I am angry at you, God, for what you have allowed and what you're doing here. And you've got to work it out in this area. Getting back to Alan's question, what do we do with this anger? Got to work it out in this direction first before it'll ever be worked out in this direction. I'm sorry? Well, it's a sort of a simultaneous step of realizing and acknowledging I'm angry at God and then getting back into the Holy Spirit and let the Holy Spirit lead and guide me through this and dealing with what he would have me to do and start cleaning it out and start replacing it with spiritual love, his love. I'm sorry? Yes. Yes. I would never say that God the Holy Spirit has to do it any certain way. So I'm sure there are times it's a quick fix. I'm sure there are times that it is not. Sure. Certainly. But the first thing you have to do is straighten it out here.
Yeah.
Straighten it out there. When you straighten it out here, then the others are put into a proper perspective. Even in the movie The Apostle, you asked about how instantaneous. It wasn't long after his big deal with God, I'm angry at you, God, and then you go through some scenes of actually losing the church, losing his family, and all this stuff, and then another great sin he committed. But then, once he worked it out, he just went on back into the ministry. No. Nope. I cannot say that the Holy Spirit would do this or this or this in any given circumstance, Alan.
Because of my
life. Huh?
Because of man's law.
But I'm not going to say, that's what I'm saying. I'm not going to tell the Holy Spirit to even limited by man's law. All I'm going to do is in this sense of what he's doing, and by the way, that's a true story. So we're not just talking a movie. And but once the police came, he didn't run. He said, okay, let's go. And then he had him on a chain gang singing praises. And doing the gospel witnessing, which another preacher did when he was put on the chain gang. But he went out and said, okay. And he went and found a ministry and had a bona fide ministry. Did the gospel about 3 times in the movie. So what I'm saying is that I don't tell the Holy Spirit how he's going to take a person through all of this. This is why we want to stay away, people, from judging how other believers and how other believers handle things and what's going on in their life. I don't know. I'm not the judge. I am not the judge. When the police came for the man in the movie, he just said, "Fine, here he is," and walked out with the police, and that was that. And so, how the Spirit takes us all on different journeys, and we'll just call one little section of the journey here. We'll just call this section right here, how he takes us when we're dealing with something like a really strong anger, or a really strong hate, or a really strong hurt, really strong disappointment, something that would completely disorient us, how he deals with it, it's going to vary. And that's why people don't judge one another. Don't just stand back and be in prayer for one another. Try to restore one another, but don't judge one another. Let's say that in this, one of these is the prodigal son. And we get, boy, look at him. We want to judge him and slam dunking and everything. But look where he ends up. So I don't know what people are going to do. No, I'm not going to praise anyone who is in sin. Don't misunderstand. Love does not rejoice in unrighteousness. But I'm not going to judge them. I don't know what God is doing on their journey. So what I want to do is to be in prayer that they will come to this point, like Chris was just talking about, come to this point of, okay, here's where I really got to deal with this thing. This is the real deal right there. I got to work it out here. Once I get it worked out here, then the Spirit will take care of it. It'll take care of itself, as it were, with one another. But I first got to really finally admit, I'm angry. I hate you, God. I'm angry at you, God. How long all of this process is, people, it differs with circumstances. It differs with people. Elijah, you know, apparently was just up in the cave, a very, very important aspect of Elijah's life, but apparently it only took a day and a night and a day. And he was back. But it's a snapshot of the time frame and the journey that we all have to go through. Here's the fear. But what we have to go through when these things are working on us. We all have things that we've got to work with in our souls, and these are just things that we're working on in this study that causes us to become murderers. Well, self is always involved. Yes, self is always involved in all of these types of things. Yeah. Well, I do that here because it's toward one another in our passages. You got to realize that you yourself are, and that's. In fact, that's what John does in 1 John. He just takes these believers and says, look, you know, just go through. Christ is your defense attorney. He's taking care of it. He's your attorney right now. Just go back to faith, go back to trust, get back into the new man. Now, Christians are like newspaper reporters. They won't let you forget. But what you have to do is your own personal relationship with God. And hopefully the few believers that will walk by the Spirit, that's the way they're going to deal with it. But, yeah, it is with self, too. Absolutely. Okay, let's close in a word of prayer. Enjoy tonight. Good night. All right, let's in prayer. Father, our problem in anger and hate is because Heavenly Father's abuse, our view of God, our view of you. And throughout our life, we have to be constantly reminded and brought back to a truthful view of you, what kind of God you are, how you deal with us in love. So, Father, we thank you that you have given to us the power of the Spirit. You have recognized the frailty of our flesh. Paul says, Father, we do things sometimes we don't want to do. We're angry when we do not want to be angry. We're hate when we do not want to hate. We're hurt when we do not want to be hurt. And so, Father, you have given to us the Spirit to deliver us from this wretched man that we are. And so, Father, it becomes our desire to walk in the Spirit constantly, being ever so sharp on it when in the midst of pressure and testing of anger and hate. Father, we praise you for a God that you've provided such a simple solution. It doesn't cost thousands of dollars. In a sense, it just takes us to our knees that we decrease and you increase and go into prayer. We praise you for the God that you are. In your Son's precious name. Amen.